In him, I can say that I live, I move, and I have my being. Because of him, I am who I am. Because of him, I am saved today. I give God glory, praise, and honor because I realized that I could not deliver myself. I couldn't fill myself with the Spirit, but it was the name of Jesus that brought me out of the world of sin. It gave me a new insight and understanding of who he is and that I could have a relationship with him and that he could be my Lord and my Savior and that his Spirit could dwell within me. I love him because he first loved me. I thought I knew God. I thought I loved God in the world of sin, but I didn't. I was just calling a name. I was just going through the motions. But now within me, I can say, God, I give you glory, praise, and honor for delivering me, setting me free from the bondage of sin, giving me a new outlook on life, giving me a mind to want to be saved. I can say once again, what a mighty God I serve. He's greatly and greatly to be praised. Today, we give God honor today for you being a part of Sunday School. We pray that we will say something today that will encourage you, lift you up, and motivate you, and help you understand your position and relationship with God and your purpose in this life, that he has allowed you to be here on the land of the living. Yet, all that is going on, we still serve a mighty God, a merciful God, a loving God. And today, we want to talk to you about looking for love in all the wrong places. Looking for love in all the wrong places. We're going to be reading our lesson from 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, 16, and 17. Do not love the world. I'm going to read from the NIV. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love of the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. Verse 17, the world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Question again. Not quest statement, looking for love in all the wrong places. Today in the society that we live, people going to God, they go to everybody else. Or they go to situations, circumstances, or problems, things that people look forward to. In other words, when I was a young man, unsaved, I looked for anything that will satisfy this flesh. Anything that I can think and motivate myself to say, oh, I like this. I would go for it. Oh, I love this, but not really loving it. But it's just something that I'm feeding the flesh. I was looking for love in all the wrong places. I was looking for love in the clubs when I did go. When I smoked marijuana, drank, I was looking for love. I was looking for something. My soul was not satisfied. My hunger for the love that I desired was not that of God, but it was of the world. My love for was that I could tell somebody I loved them, but did I really love them? Love today is like a byword. In order to understand love, we have to look at what Christ did for us in St. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. See, he gave something. What are we willing to give? You see, instead of looking for love in all the wrong places, look at this. People come to church today looking for love because they're lacking something in their lives that they need. But they come in, but they really don't want to commit because committing means that you have to change. When you come in contact with Jesus, there you're going to change. There's no way you're going to remain the same. So when we look for love, you see, love is a many splendored thing. Every one of us had a different position for us looking for love before we came to God. We understood. Our parents taught us how to love one another. They taught us how to love our siblings. They taught us how to love our neighbors. Even the Bible tells us how to love one another. But the thing about it is, in order to love each other the way the Bible wants us to love each other, you have to be born again of the Spirit of God. You have to be filled with his Spirit. You have to have your sins washed away. You see, if I tell you I love you, but I'm doing something that is contrary to what I'm saying, you're like, man, he don't love me. He just talking. He just putting on. He just being, he just trying to put on for somebody else. But today, brothers and sisters, I want you to understand, I love you because God loves me. I don't see you for who you are and the color you are. I see you as a child of God, because God looked way beyond our faults one day and saw our needs. Neither one of us could save each other, but we serve a God that could save us and pick us up and turn us around and place our feet on the solid ground. I was looking for love in all the wrong places, but in 1979, God got a hold of my spirit, my mind, and began to draw me and call me. And I made the decision, God, here I am. For you, I'll live, and for you, I die. God, I surrender my whole being. You see, we can't just throw up the flag and pull it back down and live the life we want to live, but we have to live the life of sovereignty. In other words, when you surrender to God, you're saying, God, here I am. I'm waving my flag. I want to give up everything that I am attached to in the world. I want to give up everything that is going to keep me from having a relationship with you. Saints of God, many of you, before you are saved, you may have been brought up in an apostolic home. Some of you may not have been brought up in an apostolic home. But one thing that we understood is that our parents taught us love. The Bible teaches us and tells us we must love one another. Also, the word says, if you see if your brother in need and shut up your bowels of compassion, how dwelleth the what? The love of God in you. We are our brother's keeper, looking for love in all the wrong places. The church at large, there is no greeting, farewell, or personal references that would reveal the recipient of this letter. In other words, this writer was writing, letting them know that whoever read it, whoever came across it, whoever came, got in contact with it and began to read it, do not love the world or anything in the world. He's letting them know, don't get caught up in the world. Don't allow the world to lead you down a path of no return. Don't allow the world to condemn your soul. Don't allow the world to cause you to be alienated from God, which we were before we was born again, before we had a relationship with him. That's why when I look back over my life, I see where he brought me from. I should have been dead and gone, but the hand of the Lord stayed death. I should have been strung out on some drugs and alcohol, but God sustained me and kept me, because you see, he saw something in us that we didn't see in ourselves. I didn't see myself 40 years down the road, 18, 19, 17 years old, you doing what a teenager do, getting in trouble, running around doing things you shouldn't be doing, saying things you shouldn't be saying, going places you shouldn't be going. Why? Because we thought we was old enough we could handle it. It was a responsibility that we did not know how to handle. And I'm telling you from experience, I thank God that he saved me when he did. Because I realized that I was headed down a path that of no return. But here it says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. Saints of God, you can't have two gods. You can only serve one. You can only praise and worship one. We know the Bible tells us that the question, the statement that was made is that you love God or you're going to love the devil. You're going to worship the devil or you're going to worship God. There's a decision that has to be made in our lifetime. We can't allow the love of the world to separate us from the love of God. The love of God did what the world could not do. He shed his blood for the remission of sin, to wash away our sins, to cleanse us from our sins, to separate us and alienate us from the world of sin. You see, when we was born again, we not only have a transformed mind, but our output and our outlook on life was like this. Man, I thank God that I'm not where I used to be. I thank God that I'm not what I was before he delivered me. It's a wonderful thing to each church. It's a wonderful thing that each church can look at 1 John as though it was written to them personally. You see, same thing. I look at the Word of God and I take the Word of God personally. because it helps me to be who I am. It shows me the path that I must travel. It shows me the way that I should go. It gives me an opportunity to say, God, my ear is yours. I want to hear what you say. I want to obey what you're telling me. I want the Spirit of God to lead and guide me into all truth. When I was out there in the world of sin, I did what the flesh wanted to do. I dressed the way the flesh wanted to dress. I acted the way the flesh wanted to act. I was unseemly because I was in the world. I love the things of the world, but when Jesus Christ got a hold of me, it helped me look at what I was doing and how I looked, and the things that I was doing was not pleasing in the eyes of God. You understand, from this perspective, we that are parents know that our children shouldn't be doing some things they shouldn't be doing. They're brought up in the apostolic home. They've been taught. Some have been saved. Some have backslidden, but here's the perspective thing about it. Looking for love in all the wrong place. I don't care how you try to find love outside of God, there is no love that's going to sustain you the way the love God will. This here lets us know that the purpose of this letter is to point out that each person gives attention to the spiritual as he wishes. Only as much as he feels is necessary to keep his spirit in touch with God. When you love God, you are sold out. When you love God, you have surrendered. When you love God, you say, God, it's not I, but it's you. In other words, don't just pretend to be a Christian. Don't act the role of a Christian. Live that role. Commit to that confession that you made to Christ. Hold on to what you believe in and read the Word of God. Allow his Word to penetrate your heart to help you see where you are. Because, see, saints of God, so many people today, as we look on social media, even in the churches that are going on, you have so many pastors arising up on social media, preaching and teaching the wrong thing, not telling you how to have a relationship with God, not telling you to separate yourself, not telling you to allow the Spirit of God to lead and guide you. They're not telling you that you need to be born again. We're living in a society where they're preaching and teaching easy believism. All you have to do is just confess it, you are saved. Just believe it, you are saved. But you're still living that sinful life. No. We have to be separated. We have to cast those things off of us. In order to witness to somebody, they got to see a difference in us. They got to see that we love God, and not only just testify about it, not only just sing about it, not only just preach about it, not only just witness about it, but they got to see the genuine love of God in you. They got to see that the Spirit that you're talking about, the God you serve, lives in you. That's why, saints of God, is very important for us as the children of God, that when we go out, they can see Jesus in us. We shouldn't have to tell everybody we meet, oh, I'm saved, I've been born again, I've been received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I have gifts of speaking in tongues. No, I don't do that. Hey, my name is Lee, this is who I am, this is what I do, this is the church I go to. Won't you come visit us sometime? I don't have to tell you I've been saved 40 years. No, if you can't see it in the life that I live, if you can't see the anointing of God upon me, if you can't see the power of his Spirit living and dwelling in me, then something's wrong with me. We have to get ourselves together. That's why Christ don't want us to have a relationship with the world. We cannot have one foot in God and one foot out of God. You're either going to be on one side. You ever got a barbed wire fence to walk down the middle of it? No. Because we know the consequences. So in other words, saints of God, what I'm saying is that so many churches out there are rising up and they're not teaching the fullness of the gospel. They're not teaching the people you got to leave sin behind. They're not teaching them that you can't live the life you used to live. They're not teaching them that you have to be born of the water and of the Spirit. They're not teaching them that you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost in order to hold on to the life that God is giving us. Saints of God, the devil wants to kill, steal, and destroy us. He wants us to turn our back on God. We're in a spiritual warfare to the point that we have to put on our weapons of warfare, the clothes that God has given us in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Put on the whole armor of God. What does it look like when a man is in a spiritual war or in a natural war? He's going out to war, but he's not dressed for it. He's not equipped. He's not ready. He's not prepared. We are the children of God. We must be prepared. Comes not from the Father, but from the world. Jesus Christ said, I come to give you life and that more abundantly. I come to offer you a better perspective. I come to give you a way out. I come to help you understand that I am your Savior. I am your deliverer. I am the God that you should serve. I am the God that you should worship. You see, Christ faced those situations in his life. They called him a Beelzebub. They called him everything but the child of God. They called him everything except the Son of God. Why? Because he said, I came in John 10 and 31. He said, I am a father of one. How could they have been one when John said in 1:29, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. John was born before Christ for the purpose of the forerunner to let them know there comes one mightier and greater than I am, whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and loose the lace on them. But I want you to know this, that he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. And today, saints of God, we've been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost like they received it on the day of Pentecost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, looking for love in all the wrong places. Man, people going from person to person trying to find love. Going from club to club trying to find love. Going from night out, night in, trying to find love. You see, saints of God, you're going to find a form of love. You're going to find a temporary love, but you're not going to find a permanent love the way that Jesus Christ loves us. Now, we that are married, been 10, 15, 20, or 30 years, we love our mates. We love our wives. Why? Our wives loves us because we are there for them. We're there to hold each other. We're there to encourage each other. We're there to help one another. We're there to strengthen one another. We're there to pray for each other. We're there to lift each other up. Why? Because God's love is in both of us, and we have been born again. We have united in the spirit and in the natural. So what I'm saying to you today, don't go looking for love outside of Christ. You will get a false love. People will tell you they love you as long as they can get some from you. People will tell you they love you as long as you're giving out. But when it comes time for them to show that love, it's not reciprocated. Oh, well, I don't have it. I can't do it. I can't make it. Or I got this going on. And you're like, I thought you loved me. I thought you was there for me. We don't have to worry about that with Christ. He's always there. Bible says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. But we are the ones that walks out on God. We are the ones that make the decision. Well, I don't want to do this any longer. I don't want to live this life any longer. I want something. I think there's something else better. Saints of God, I'm for sure we all know individuals that have walked with God for years and have turned their back on God, looking for a false love that cannot deliver them, looking for a false love that cannot give them peace in the midnight hour. I don't care what problems we're facing, what circumstances we're having in our lives, God still gives us peace. The Bible says, if you keep your mind stayed on me, I'll keep you in perfect peace. I don't care what's going on around us. I don't care what's going on in our lives. Our focus has to be on the Lord Jesus Christ and his love, his position, his purpose for us. Our focus have to know that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he will never change. He can't change. But when we came in contact with him, he changed everything about us. We no longer look for love in the world. We come to the house of God where our brothers and sisters are because we love each other. We worship God. We lift him up. We glorify him. We tell him that, God, you are the apple of my eye. Help me to be the child that you want me to be. Help me to represent you in every area of my life. Wherever I go, when I open up my mouth, I want to witness and tell somebody that do not know you that you are a saving God. He's a delivering God. There are those who believe that they are safe and acceptable to God. What if, you know, people like that? Live a life, excuse the expression, live a hellish life and say, I'm saved. I've been born again. How were you born again? Did you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues or just a confession you made? Was your sins washed away when you was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when the immersion and came up? The old man was left in the watery grave. Saints of God, we're living in a time where they're talking about God, but they don't know God. Oh, I have a relationship with God. Well, what kind of relationship you have that is different from, what kind of relationship you have is different from my relationship? I can tell you what God has done for me, how he saved me, how he brought me out. I can tell you how I love God and I surrender myself to him. Are you willing to step away from a relationship that you shouldn't be in? Are you willing to let go of the world's things that is keeping you from having a relationship with God? The lust of the flesh, the pride, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Are you willing to cast those things away from you so that you can understand what real love is all about? Jesus loved, God loved us to the point that he sacrificed his son, the Bible says, before the foundation of the world. This was already in play. In the beginning of creation of the universe, mankind, God had already made the decision before Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden that I'm going to deliver man. Because see, one thing about what I love about God, God don't force us to do anything. We make that decision whether we're going to serve him or worship him. You see, God created us unlike the angels. They were created to come and go and act on command. But God wanted somebody that would come to him willingly. God wanted somebody that would surrender themselves and say, God, I'll serve you. I'll worship you. We have too many Bible characters in the Word of God to read and to understand and to study how their relationship with God and what they did for God and God, how God moved in their lives and how God performed miracles in their lives and how God used them to raise up the dead, open up blinded eyes. You see, saints of God, Christ said to his disciples, he said, greater things than these shall ye do. How can you do that? You have to love God to the point that it's you and God. You got to get in God's face and say, God, here I am. I love you more than anything in the world. I love you more than anything that can, and more than the money, the silver, the gold, or the houses, the land that people can give me. God, you are my all in all. Those things we do need because we're living in a society where we have to provide for our family. We have to make sure that they're taken care of. You see, when you take care of God's business, God will take care of you. Sometimes it may look like, oh, I can't make it, and I'm short here, and I don't have it to do this. Next thing you know, somebody might knock on your door. Somebody might call you and say, hey, I want to give you this. I want to pay this. I want to buy you this. You see, God knows your need before you ever tell anybody about it. You don't have to look for love in the world, the love of the flesh. We don't have to look for the love of the flesh. We see that going on right now, all on TV. You know, 30, 40 years ago, when I was watching TV as a young man coming along, it was clean. The Lucy Show, her and her husband slept in separate beds. You didn't see a lot of stuff that you see today. It wasn't promoted like it's being promoted today. They're promoting this fleshly love, the desire to draw your mind away from God, to cause you to look at the body versus looking at the individual. You know, people have gotten married because a person looked a certain way. Oh, he was handsome. Oh, she had a nice body. But once they connected, hooked up, man, they just have so much problem because they went for the flesh and not the love. They went for something that could not give them peace. When I married my wife, I wanted to make sure I loved her before I married her. It took me 2.5 years to marry that woman. Because, you know, back in 1979, 1980, there wasn't no boyfriend and girlfriend. looking for love in all the wrong places. When I got saved and went to church and I saw a young lady that I liked, and I talked to the pastor about it, talked to her about it, but the thing about it was, he laid down some laws. He laid down some rules. As a young man, you ain't been saved long enough, okay? You got to be saved a little longer. You got to live this life. You got to prove to us that you have been born again, that you no longer want to be a part of this world. I didn't mind doing that. You want to know why? Because I saw something I wanted. In order for me to get that, I had to live this life. Show God that I was serious and I was real and I was ready to make another transition in my life. The thing about it is when you come to God, you leave the world behind. When you come to God, you shed off those other things that cause you to not look at God when you looked at him, how you looked at him in the beginning of time. The flesh can cause you to walk out on God. The lust of the eyes can cause you to walk out on God. I'm going to tell you something, saints of God. There, are you talking about looking for love in all the wrong places? It's okay to love one another. That's our position. That's our perspective. We're supposed to love one another. But see, I'm going to tell you what got me hooked up one time is that I looked at this man and I didn't see God. Looking for love. I expected this man to show me the love that I desired and needed and wanted. But he wasn't that type of person. And I realized that when things transitioned and transpired in the house of God, people will come in, he'll promote them. People will come in, he'll put them here and put them there. I couldn't understand it because I'm looking at man. And I was dying spiritually because I was looking for a love from a man that could not give me what I needed. Instead of going to God, telling him my problem that was my burden on the inside, I looked at that man and tried to get it naturally. To the point it was causing a problem, my relationship with my wife. I was to the point I was ready to just walk out on God. But one day I said, God, I need your help. The Lord spoke to me and said, look beyond man and see me. When I looked beyond that man and I saw God, my focus was never the same. I said, God, he don't have to give an account to me. If he talks about he loved me and he don't show love, that's between you and him. That's the position I came to because my eyes was fixed on that fleshly part of man because I wanted that fleshly love from that individual. But the thing about it, it wasn't to be at that point. I mean, we had a great relationship once I understood my position as a child of God and God said, look beyond him and see me. Saints of God, my life changed from that moment on. I didn't no longer have to look for a love that couldn't give me peace when I'm at home by myself. I didn't have to look for a love that couldn't be next to me when I'm at home by myself. I didn't have to have a man to tell me he loved me because I knew God loved me. That man didn't die for me, but Jesus did. So I took my eyes off of that fleshly man and looked at what God put before me. And I was able to move and go forward and have the relationship and the pride of life. I don't allow those things to cause me to be tripped up because it will separate or alienate me from God. I want to serve God. I want to live for God. I haven't been saved these 40 years just to turn my back on God. I understand that the love of the world can give you something that can take you straight to hell. The love of the world can cause you to yield up the Holy Ghost. Bible says, God said, no man can pluck you out of my hand, but you can walk away from God's hand. That's a decision you make. I can't snatch you out of the hand of God. You do that yourself when you don't understand how to love God, how to allow God to love you. That's why it's very important for us to understand that the practical revival of the church and worship here and there, we must worship him even outside of these walls. We shouldn't have to wait, live in hell, live a sinful life 6 days out of the week, come in here on Sunday and want to give God praise, worship, and honor him and magnify him, and go back out Sunday evening and do the same thing we did for 6 days. That's a show Christian. That's a fake Christian. You ever heard the terminology, fake it till you make it? You can't fake that in this life. You're either going to live this thing or you not. The Lord will reveal to the man of God or a saint or a child of God, this person is not right. This person got other motives. His perspectives are not right. That's why we must allow God. It says, but whosoever does the will of God lives forever. Saints of God, that's my desire, to live forever. Not on this earth, but in the life to come. I want to be one of those that have walked with God. And whenever I pass on, I want my life to have been an example to somebody for these 50 years or however long I live, to say that God was my God. And so that when I die and go on, I want to be able to be in his presence. I don't want to live a fake saved life and still go to hell. That don't profit me anything. Because, you see, when God created Adam and Eve in the garden, God gave Adam the command. Of every tree of the garden, you may freely eat, except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The day you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. The devil came along and told Eve a different perspective. See how he twists the word of God? Oh, you won't die. You'll be like God. But what she didn't realize, the command wasn't given to her. It was given to Adam. You see, when I'm talking about being plucked out of God's hand, Adam allowed himself. He made the decision, the choice, to do what God commanded him not to do. As long as when Eve ate of that fruit, her eyes were not open. But the Bible says that she ate and gave to him who was with her, and he partook of the fruit. That's when their eyes became open. Saints of God, I'm not going to let my wife cause me to do some things I know I shouldn't be doing. Vice versa. My wife shouldn't allow me to cause her to do some things that she shouldn't be doing. It's a decision that we make. It's a choice that we make. Adam loved Eve, but he loved her just a little bit more at that particular time than he did God. You don't know why? Because he made the decision, let me have it, I'm going to eat of it. And then that's when they knowledge became prevalent to them. Bible says they went and hid themselves, tried to cover themselves with fig leaves. Why would you try to cover up sin when you know it had already destroyed you, when you know it had already separated you from God? The best thing to do is acknowledge it, repent of it, ask God to forgive you, do what you need to do to get back to where you need to be with God and move forward. And that's where we are today. We can't look for love in all the wrong places. That's why so many, I hate to see it, and it's there. So many pastors and preachers and evangelists are falling by the wayside because they're taking their focus off of God. The lay members are falling because they're taking their focus off of God and looking at the world. What are the things that they see in the world? The lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of the eyes. These are the three things that Satan has been tempting man with for over 2,000 years from the beginning of time. He even tried his trickery on Christ when he was out in the mountain, out in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. How is it that he can fixate his mind that I'm going to tempt the Creator? I'm going to tempt the Son of God. He did. He tried it. Christ used the word on the devil. The devil said, hey, look, take him to a high pinnacle. Everything you see out there, I'll give it to you because it was given to me. How was it given to him? When Adam relinquished his Holy Spirit, his relationship with God in the beginning of time and the Garden of Eden. He says, Satan, here you go. Take what I have. Therefore, he became the dominion of this universe. That's why it's very important for us that are filled with the Holy Ghost to wage a spiritual war against the enemy. He's going to attack us in every area, every way he can. But we have to have the word down on the inside to the point David said, that word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We know the life of David. We know what he did. We know how him and Bathsheba got mixed up in a situation he shouldn't have. He should have been out on the battlefield, but he was the king. So he had the choice of choices. The thing about it is this. David understood his position, but he had a man killed to have his wife. The thing about it is, saints of God, you can't allow the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes to cause you to live in sin and to do things that will be sinful in the eyesight of God. You must yield your members unto the will and the purpose of God. Your eyes, saints of God, we have to protect what we see today. TV is not like it was in the 1930s. It's all about the flesh. It's all about the things that can take you away from God, that can lead you away from God, that will cause you to think something that you really shouldn't even be thinking about. We're in a position today, billboard signs. It's crazy anymore. They're not really pointing to God. You may see some signs here that talks about God and the love and the place and the worship of this church and all. But the most important is that we need to have a perspective as the child of God. When we come into this place of worship, we come to worship, magnify, and glorify God and honor God and praise and worship when the praise team is going forth. Saints of God, this is not a place of put on. This is a place of realism. This is what we're doing is real. What we come to here, what we come to do together is to lift up the name of Jesus. We come to glorify him. The Bible says, if you lift me up, I will draw all men unto you. That's why it's very important when we have visitors in the house of God, we that are saved and been filled and living this life, excuse me, if we would get together on one accord, the power of the Holy Ghost can fill this place. You want to see people healed. You want to see people delivered. You want to see people set free from the bondage of sin. If we could get together like they did on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost fell, the power of God in this place would be so thick you can cut it with a spiritual knife. That's what God wants us to do, to get to the point in our life that we love him more than the world. That we love him to the point that we will surrender ourselves to him. They think they can pretty much live like they want to, doing whatever they want, and still say, I'm saved. I'm a child of God. No, no, no. I had to, when I first got saved and learned about this way of life, the love of God versus the love of the world. After a few years reading and studying the word of God, I begin to understand our position as the child of God. Say, so God, I must admit, I was a dogmatic man back then. What I mean by dogmatic, I was so energetic about being filled with the Spirit of God, be delivered from sin, because I was wrapped up in some things I shouldn't have been wrapped up in. God brought me out of that. And I was able to look back and say, man, God, I thank you, because I don't know if I would have made it through. I was so dogmatic to the point that once I got baptized in Jesus' name, my sins washed away, and I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, man, I was telling all my friends, people I didn't know, if you don't get saved, you're going to hell. That's the way that was my witnessing. Because I was so filled with the Spirit, but I didn't do it with knowledge. I wasn't harmful ever as a dove. I wasn't harmful. I wasn't wise as a serpent, humble as a dove. Man, I was dogmatic. I was hard on them. Man, look, we did this. God saved me. You can't do it anymore. If you continue to do it, you're going to hell. That's the way I was for years, because back then, that's the way they preached. Either you're in church or you're out of church. There's no in between. You love the world or you love God. You committed to God or you committed to the world. But then I understood that I have to have a different perspective and a different tactic. You think if I went and told somebody today, man, you're going to hell for what you're doing, that they want to hear anything I got to say? Would you want to hear anything I got to say if I came to you like that? No. So we have to be wise. We have to show them through the word of God. Now, what I've learned to do, once I understood how I was pushing people away from that dogmatic witnessing, I took them to the word of God. Ephesians chapter 6, I let them read the lust of the, I let them read the works of the flesh and the works of the spirit. Once they read that, I said, okay, where are you at? Where do you see yourself? I allow them to tell me instead of me telling you, going to hell for being a drunkard. You're going to hell for being a liar. No, I let them read it. So I learned. I said, you know what? Man, this is good. So I allowed them to read those scriptures. And they look at it and say, well, I see myself in there. Well, what you going to do about it? You see, here's there are different ways of witnessing. Today that we live in today, our witnessing is much different than it was back then. It's not as dogmatic as it was back then. We show you and tell you who God is, how to have a relationship with him, how to separate yourself, how to present your body as a living sacrifice. As Paul said in Romans 12 and 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have to renew their mind in a way that they no longer think the way they used to think. We have to show them in the word of God what we have, what we're talking about, the life we are living, how to be a witness, how to do what needed to be done in their life. Because if we don't, then we're going to alienate them from us. They're not going to want to hear what we got to say if we continue to tell them you're going to hell all the time. Saints of God, you know, some of the we can be the best witness to somebody, but not even open our mouth. In other words, what I'm saying is, I've been around people, hey, Lee, let's do this. No, man, I don't do that. Well, let's go here. Nope, I don't go there either. Nope, I don't do any of that. I say, God saved me, gave me a new outlook on life. He helped me to be who I am. He blessed me to be a blessing to my family. He's met my needs. So I'm not going out there to do something that's going to cause me to sin in the eyes of God. And this is how I put it to him. If I go with you and do those things you want me to do, would you respect me in the morning when you see me? No. You want to know why they wouldn't respect me? Because all that testifying, all that that preaching I've been doing, all that singing they hear me doing, when they see me the next morning, man, I knew you were just like me. You was a put on. You was a show. You wasn't for real. Because here I am, looking for love in all the wrong places, doing the things I shouldn't be doing, hanging out with people I shouldn't be hanging out. I know what life is about. I know how the devil's going to come to me. I know how the devil's going to tempt me. But it's my spirit that's in me will help me to stand up against the attack of the enemy. That's why we must know the word of God. Jesus Christ used the word on the devil. Even though Satan knew he was created by the Son of God, he still tried to tempt God. That's his job. 7 days, 24 hours a day, 365 days. That's his job, to get his demons and his imps and all them to plague us to the point that will cause us to turn our back on God. Saints of God, I've been preaching and teaching for the last 40 years. We are living in the last days. We are in the last days. And we still must preach and teach that Jesus Christ is coming back for those who have made themselves ready. We must have all in our lamp to the point that when that day comes, when he make forth that, when he open up the clouds and ascend and say, come my people, I want to be ready. Whether I'm alive or in the grave, the Bible says the grave, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are allowed to remain shall be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That's my position in the life that I live today, that I live this thing 100%, There's nothing fake about what I do. There's nothing that's going to separate me from the love of God, not the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. I understand those are the things that Satan would tempt us with. How many of God's people will throw in the towel for $1 million? How many people will give their salvation up to satisfy the flesh? How many people will walk away from God because a tragedy has happened in their life? The Bible says time and chance happens to us all. As we live, we're going to go through some things, saints of God. As we live, we're going to experience some things in our lives that's going to be hurtful to us. But in the long run, we stand and hold on to God's word and to his relationship. He will strengthen us and prepare us to be able to accept and to overcome. We will never forget our loved ones, but we can get past the loss of them. We know they're gone and they're saved and walk and lived and walk with God. So to the point where they're in a better place than we are. Because we still got to make it, no matter what we say or do. So today, we just want to encourage you, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For the love of the world is not of the Father. It's not of the Father. Thank you for being a part of Sunday School. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.